app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Deadly rainstorms have pounded the South.
This is one of the most serious weather events we've dealt with in at least a decade.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, after at least 9 people were killed in his state, one of them a young child. Felicity Escobedo lives in an apartment in Jeffersontown.
By the time I looked right behind me, everything was flooded. The kitchen was flooded. The bedroom was flooded. Bathroom. The whole entire living room was pretty much covered in water. There's nothing we could do.
Another death is blamed on storms in Georgia. Freezing temperatures in the South today are expected to create a problem for crews working to restore electricity to thousands of homes without power or heat. The Kremlin says U.S. and Russian officials will meet tomorrow in Saudi Arabia on a plan to end the war in Ukraine. Team coverage begins with the BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
That is already a diplomatic victory for Vladimir Putin. Not only is he coming back in from the cold, he's been given an extremely warm reception. I mean, Donald Trump is saying, I want you back in the G8. I want to work closely with you. Let's visit each other's countries.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. French President Emmanuel Macron is chairing a hastily arranged summit of European defense powers in Paris today to try to retake the initiative on Ukraine and demand that the U.S. end its lockout of Europe from talks on that country's future. European leaders are deeply concerned about the high-level meetings taking place in Saudi Arabia this week between the U.S. and Russia on Ukraine without Ukraine at the table.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio arrived in Riyadh this morning after a stop in Israel. CBS's Chris Livesay from Tel Aviv.
Secretary Marco Rubio and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were united on virtually every issue facing Israel in the Middle East, from stopping Iran from getting nuclear weapons to the future of Gaza.
Here in the U.S., thousands of additional federal employees were fired over the weekend. Jordan Solis worked at the IRS before taking the Trump administration's payout offer.
To treat employees like this and to say, hey, either take this offer now or, you know, potentially get laid off later, that was very disrespectful to most of the federal workforce.
Big surprise at Britain's top movie awards.
The BAFTA goes to Conclave.
Papal Thriller took top prize after losing out at all of the Oscars precursors so far. The film star Ralph Fiennes didn't win. Best leading actor went to the brutalist Adrian Brody. On the women's side, Anora's Mikey Madison took the trophy for playing an exotic dancer in Anora.
She's my favorite scene partner, so I love you, Mommy.
Anora scooped up 3 key top prizes leading up to next month's Academy Awards. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Badgers face the Fighting Illini. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers host Illinois tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Game time 7:30. Wisconsin coming off that big win at number 7th ranked Purdue, 94-84 over the weekend. Marquette will be at home tomorrow night when they host Seton Hall. NBA, the Bucks return to action Thursday night when they take on the Clippers in Milwaukee. The Badgers men's hockey team in a slump. They lost to number 8th ranked Ohio State in Columbus, 4-2. Wisconsin has now lost 6 in a row. Associate head coach Todd Knott asked why the team hasn't been able to score more than 2 goals a game so far this month.
I wish I had a better answer for you on that one. I don't. And disappointing, especially with us getting good crowds showing up right now. I know our guys are extremely disappointed in the results over the weekend, but when you talk about Ohio State, Penn State, and they had some snarl to them, so give them credit. I thought they played very well.
That's Badgers hockey coach Todd Knott with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Welcome to the era of the mini reality show. Reese Witherspoon, producer behind the new Legally Blonde prequel, Elle, filmed herself calling the actress who won the role of young Elle Woods. The series will be set during Woods' high school years, way before she became a lawyer. Witherspoon posted the vid to her TikTok, which also included recording the actress giving her mother the news. Here's hoping the actual series that will drop on Prime eventually will be just as entertaining. Oh yeah, the actress playing Elle will be newcomer Lexi Mindtree. Immensely popular stand-up comedian Nate Bargatze Ragazzi has not one, but two films in the works. Nate will star in the holiday film Christmas in Paradise after he completes playing the lead in The Breadwinner, a comedy he will also produce. Christmas in Paradise has Bargatze playing a small-town doctor who ends up getting a bounty on his head a week before Christmas. The project is still in the development stages and will be directed by TAG director Jeff Tomczyk. It will be interesting to see if Bargatze's films are as funny as his act. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A frigid President's Day with mostly sunny skies, a high of only near 2 above. Wind chill values, though, as cold as 30 below. For tonight, mostly clear, lows near 20 below, wind chill values as low as 30 below. Right now, it's 9 below.
Earl Ingram.
We'll be driving to a significant moment in American history with a special Black History lesson featuring guest historian Professor Bob Harvey. Later in the show, we'll also welcome Reggie Jackson.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Monday morning, February 17th. Nice to have you along. Joined as well by Bach and the Doc, Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly. Kristen, thanks again for filling in Monday through Thursday last week, for Todd Alba for the two Fridays, and Mr. Bach there every single day doing yeoman's work, which is a weird saying because I don't know what a yeoman actually does.
Todd says it every time we work together too. He goes, you do yeoman's work. I'm like, yo, man, thanks. I don't know what that means. All right, cool.
That was my reaction too, yeah.
I did not. I apparently brought the sunshine back from a beach in the Dominican Republic. I did not bring the temperatures, Brittany. And so we're here at double digits below zero and dangerous wind chills yet again. And that ain't just a today thing, is it?
No, it's not. So, Pat, we're going to have to send you back. Go bottle up that warmth. Then bring it back with you.
Yep.
We expect the delivery by Monday and Tuesday. All right. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. 40s, you guys. I'm just going to start off with the good news. 40s Ooh. Will be here by early next week. So we got this. We can get through this. But it is darn cold. Right now it feels about 35 below zero into Superior, Wisconsin, far north, far west. You are freezing and frigid. And throughout the entire state, too, it feels like 20 below down into the southern parts of the state. And highs today struggling to get to the single digits. So our actual temperatures will be at about 4 degrees far south, about zero far north. And it's really going to be feeling with those winds at about 25 miles per hour this afternoon. It's going to be feeling like highs of about 10 below to maybe even 15 below. So a very frigid day today, and then tonight we crash cold again with more cold weather warnings going out and advisories because we're actually going to get a little bit cooler. Temperatures will be double digits below zero, so it'll be feeling about 30 to 45 below zero once again by tomorrow morning. Then tomorrow throughout the day, we'll climb to those single digits again, and we're kind of stuck there for Wednesday as well before we see a little bit of a warm-up on Thursday. We'll hit some teens to low 20s. Friday and Saturday looks a little bit better, more mild in the mid-20s. Or like I said, some 40s Monday and Tuesday next week, potentially.
No. I'm going to choose the beach weather.
I want 40s now. Now, Brittany.
I agree.
Yes.
Oh, I'm trying.
If only we could. But all right. Well, we appreciate the update, and we will look forward to those 40s. And like I said at the top of the show, you know, the Brewers' first spring training game, 5 days away.
Yeah,
and
baby.
We are not that far away from the season opener. So. We got this.
We're almost there.
All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it very much. As a reminder, throughout the program, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, don't let me forget. Brittany's gone, but you know what?
I gotta say hi from Robin Tigerton. See, I'm still getting back into the routine of things here. Rob says it's clear and 7 below 0. Wind chill is 12 below. A very busy weekend getting the snow plowing done. We had 7 inches of snow. Welcome back, Pat. I love my new phone. I got an iPhone 16. It takes great pictures, better than my iPhone 4 that I had before. Well, yeah, it's a 16, so the pictures are 4 times better. That's science. my favorite Eagles song is Best of My Love. I remember my uncle having an 8-track tape. It was great seeing snowmobilers out this weekend. So many of the businesses can make up for lost revenue. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. He says thank you to all the snowplow operators doing an excellent job on the snow. Very appreciative of it, and notes that that we are Wisconsin tough.
We so, sure are.
Yeah.
But it is 48 degrees below zero where I am right now.
The wind what? Chill.
Yes. The wind chill is 48 degrees below zero.
Leave. Ugh. Go home.
No, don't. Stay right there. Don't leave. Don't.
I don't want to.
Do not go outside. Yeah. And how far are you from when you do have to go into the hospital? Like, is it much of a drive from where you are?
It's only 5 minutes, but my car's parked outside.
That's
not have remote start.
Right. When you know where Sherry works, sometimes she gets called in the middle of the night, and again, it's near, almost across the street. But if you have to scrape frost off the windshield, you know, and everything else, it can be a bit of a thing. So yeah, you're better off just staying there. Just don't. You can talk them through deliveries over the phone, right?
I mean, yeah, I have surgery to do this morning. I got 10 more minutes with you people, and then I need to go take care of the ladies.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Sheesh.
No. She's getting actual work done, which is the important stuff. Anyway, as I was saying, 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to use the text line to send us a message or call in with a question or a comment. Selena Heller normally joins us at this point on Monday mornings. It is President's Day. It's a holiday. It's a holiday for those of us at Courier Newsroom as well. So Selena will come visit with us come Monday morning. Sports looks like I didn't miss much at all. The NBA was on their All-Star break. A lot of college teams took the week off last week. The Badger men's basketball team did defeat 7th-ranked Purdue over the weekend. That was a nice big win, and they are back in action tomorrow. They will be hosting the Illini coverage at 6:30 tomorrow on several Civic Media stations, as well as the Civic Media app. The Marquette men's basketball team will be hosting Seton Hall tomorrow. The Badger women's hockey team will next be back in action Friday and Saturday afternoons at Bemidji State. The Badger men's hockey team dropped a pair at 8th-ranked Ohio State. They will host Notre Dame this coming Friday and Saturday nights to wrap up the regular season. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday on Civic Media Station WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And there were separate notes about the Brewers that both Kristen Yelich and Brandon Woodruff are optimistic about their injury recoveries and you know, being able to take part in the regular season, if not on opening day, then hopefully not too long thereafter. So
fingers crossed.
That's what we've got to go on.
I feel like we need to do a joint Courier News, Up North News, Civic Media trip to opening day.
Yes.
Research and science purposes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Also, we have to pay tribute by bringing Miller Lite cans to the Euchre Monument.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
It's a necessity.
Absolutely. Yep.
And a special patch was unveiled last week that the players are going to wear throughout the season. Nice. So yeah, it'll be a bittersweet beginning to the season. But again, hope springs eternal for our Brewers out there. It is 7:13 right now. It is President's Day, as I noted, and it's one of those holidays. I mean, look, everybody takes off at Christmas, almost everybody for 4th of July. President's Day is in that other tier of holidays where it's like you get to the mailbox and it's empty and you go, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's nothing here for me today. And the same goes for like clinics. I mean, you know, you're seeing patients, you're doing surgery today. It just is what it is. But I know the whole thing started with honoring, you know, George Washington, which is great. He deserves that, father of our country, all that stuff. But we've never really been big about taking the day and going, you know, let's recite all the president's names. How about that William Henry Harrison, huh? Wasn't he something?
It's and his just... grandson, other Harrison. Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. Have you tried that, like starting at the beginning and see how far you get?
I used to be able to.
I could do them all.
As a kid, I
really?
Could do them all.
Oh, yeah. I'm impressed.
I couldn't now. I could get really well in the neighborhood. Wouldn't make for great radio, but I could get pretty close to it.
I can get through the named streets in Green Bay because they're all in order. And then I get to a certain point where it stops and then I'm kind of on my own.
Oh, and then eventually they become, you know, just a dirt road.
But Webster.
Yep. Oh, dear. So, again, you won't see mail delivery. You will see tomorrow, not a holiday, an election day here in Wisconsin. And that includes three candidates running for state superintendent of public instruction. The top two vote getters will move on to the April 1st general election. So April 1st is the big one, state superintendent, as well as state Supreme Court. There will be many more school referendums up there with school districts seeking help because we have a legislature that is still addicted to shortchanging our public school districts. I haven't looked at the spreadsheet lately, but I know that there's a lot of them coming, Kristen. I'm sure in Northeast Wisconsin, it's going to be the same because there's absolutely no signal from the current crop of legislators that they're going to do anything different. So we have a state budget surplus, but we don't really because it's built on years of underfunding schools. And that at the moment looks like that's still going to be what we're facing here.
Right. And our schools are having to go back to the people for operational referendums, the money that they need to keep the lights on, mm-hmm. which I mean, I get the building referendums. You know, does the community feel like we need a new big school or do we want to add a gym or something like that? Those are community choices. But public schools need public assistance. They're the foundation of our community. They're so much more than a school.
Oh, yeah. They're a community asset, whether you have kids in them or not. Mm-hmm. And a lot more folks used to appreciate that. Maybe not so much these days. But again, we, as I often say, it's yes on the referendums and it's no on the legislators who got us into this mess.
That's right.
And that's what we're going to continue to have. Although, again, we have more new legislators this year than we've had in a very long time. You talked to a couple more of them. That was State Senator Jody Habersinikin. And who else did you talk to last week?
Representative Margaret Arney, two of the yes. freshmen, one in the Senate, one in the Assembly. And we have more women in mm-hmm. the Wisconsin legislature now than ever before. 44 women, which is a third. A third.
That's still not fantastic. Enough.
Not yeah. nearly. Yeah. Not nearly enough.
But it's fantastic where it's at. It's fantastic where we are. But we keep going up.
Yeah, that's... we're ranked number like 27 in the country. Like, come on.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? We need more of those Women Win Wisconsin segments that, okay. you know, where you introduce us to more women around the state who want to step up and play a role. So we look
there
forward
are
to that.
So many of us. Let's go.
Yeah. And before you run away again with my thanks for filling in, but how do you like those daily history lessons? Putting those together, huh? You summed it up very well. What do you get when you're putting those history lessons together? Where do you end up?
So the background is, Pat, you literally handed me these history lessons. So all I had to do was just read them, but I read them in advance, and then I went straight down the rabbit hole. And three hours later, there I was.
It is just, and you know, look, if you're any kind of a history nerd, a music buff, whatever, you go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what happened to that person. And then you're clicking on other related links, and pretty soon you're back to, oh my gosh, I have one item. I better go get two or three more to fill this. It's a
Let
lot
me
of
tell
fun
you about
to do,
the history but, of the yeah. bass player from Three Dog Night. Well, it all started.
That's right where we are. But you guys handled it just so wonderfully. Thank you again, Kristen. Have a good week and stay warm up there.
I'll do my best.
As best
Thanks,
you can.
Guys.
All right. We'll see you later. Coming up next, we will talk a bit more about President's Day and its connection to Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air. If it's a day that ends in Y, VFW Post 305 on Star Avenue has great food and fun events. On Monday, it's the soup flight, while Tuesday is open mic night and homemade chimichangas and tacos. Wednesday brings acoustic music and wings, Thursday sliders and trivia, and Friday karaoke and, of course, a fish fry. Saturday features homemade pizza and live bands in the back hall, and Sunday has food service all day with oldies music. Check out Facebook or VFWPost305.com for more info. It's all happening on Star Avenue at VFW Post 305.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
There is a reason for picking this particular song, not just because it was in today's history lesson from the Eagles' album, Their Greatest Hits, 1971 to 1975, released this day in 1976, but we're picking Already Gone because in some ways I already am. I was gone all of last week, and I'm going to be gone for a big chunk of next week through a weird coincidence. You would not normally plan it like this, but the vacation from last week, the personal vacation, was planned months and months ago, and then the business trip that was planned for next week was came up only a couple of weeks back, and I'm like, oh, that should go over really well at the radio station. So yeah, a good chunk of next week I'll be away for a Courier Newsroom company retreat type thing, and so part of my to-do list for this week while I'm here with you is to line up guest hosts for next week, because Dr. Lyerly will not be available next week. So we'll have to, we're taking your recommendations on who you would like to have as potential guest hosts. And I know that Tony up in Ashland has put a few notes down of people who were great guests last week, and maybe they would be some good guest hosts.
So, I'm going to put a request in for Beyonce.
Okay. Yeah. I'll work on that one. Yeah. Just gonna sip your tea there, are you? So yeah, well, we would love to know who, if you could hear somebody just as a guest host for like a day, who would that be? And hey, we'll ask, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
True.
So that's coming up after that, and then hopefully things are kind of back to normal again for a little while around here.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers, you know, you never know.
You never know. You never know.
On this President's Day, I noted an article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from a year ago talking about President's Day and the connections of presidents to Wisconsin. And the one that I remember the most is that for a summer, President Calvin Coolidge actually moved the summer White House to Douglas County, to Superior and to Brule, because he loved to go fishing on the Brule River. And he set up camp at the Cedar Island Lodge. And he wasn't the only one. Others who had fished there included Ulysses Grant, Grover Cleveland, Dwight Eisenhower. I mean, what this used to be like a presidential playground. We could do that again.
I don't see why we could. I mean, maybe not. Maybe like 3 years or.
Oh, yeah. That's assuming we have presidents in the future. Yes, if that's the case, we could bring them back there. And that's another thing I wanted to ask folks about was, you know, if a summer White House were to be here again, you know, where would you say this is a place that could be a summer White House for folks? I know back when the old, you know, Telemark Lodge existed up in Cable, I'm sure some folks might have suggested that. I definitely would throw out, you know, Bayfield.
I was going to say that.
Oh, you say it. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, that's mind meld, baby. I was going to say Ashland, Bayfield, like northern Wisconsin area. Maybe like you can even take a day trip to Minnesota or, you know, I think northern Wisconsin in the summer would be a beautiful place to have. President or not, just to have a nice little spot to go to.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's see. There was now Dwight Eisenhower wasn't president yet, but he was still the Army Chief of Staff in 1946 when he did a fishing vacation at Moody's Resort on Big Lake in Vilas County, just north of Boulder Junction. And he liked it so much that he came back many times after that. And then others, the article just talks about other noteworthy presidential visits. For example, do you remember the old name of Lambeau Field?
No. I haven't.
Sydney Stadium.
It was
Green Bay's City Stadium.
Yeah.
And among the dignitaries on hand to dedicate the new City Stadium in September of 1957 was then Vice President Richard Nixon.
Oh.
So Nixon helped dedicate City Stadium, which then a couple of years later was renamed to Lambeau Field.
I bet you it wasn't awkward at all when he was here. I don't know what's going on.
There were plenty of presidents, of course, who visited for other reasons, like, you know, Gerald Ford made about 30 trips to Wisconsin before and after succeeding Nixon as president. He had a famous luncheon in April of 1976 at Mater's. Which, I mean, there's when I worked at a role for a billboard company in Milwaukee, and I would have to pick up these national advertising reps from the airport, and I'd have to drive them around and show them all of their billboards all over Milwaukee, and then take them wherever they wanted to go for lunch, and the company would pay for it, of course. And Mater's at that time, this would be the around 1990-1991, Mater's was far and away the number one request where people wanted to go when they came in from out of town.
I just think of the idea of like Gerald Ford having a nice big lunch at Mater's and then they'd be like followed immediately by a nice nap.
You could do that.
Because German food, it's a heavy food.
It is. And a nap is actually what John F. Kennedy was noted for. He got so worn out from his 1960 primary battle with Hubert Humphrey that when he visited the newsroom of the Journal Sentinel at their old place on 4th and State, he took a little nap on a bench at the Journal Sentinel. He was so tuckered out from campaign, which I'm also betting had something to do with his chronically bad back. Probably needed that as well. But then there is this infamous photo of then Vice President George H.W. Bush bowling at Serb Hall in Milwaukee and tripping.
Oh,
Turns out that he had been given bowling shoes that were meant to be worn by a right-hander. He's a lefty. And went to let go of the ball, and the photo is of him basically flying through the air before he fell on the lane.
He was given what?
He was given shoes meant to be worn by a right-handed bowler, and he's a lefty. I know. Right? Are you not thinking of Eugene Levy in Best in Show right now? Where he says, I've got two left feet, and you look down, and he literally has two left feet?
I've never heard that in my life, left-handed shoes. That is not a thing that exists.
So you're telling me that the vaunted Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was lied to by somebody having a little fun with them?
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. I'm sorry. It was bowling. I was taking it way too seriously.
Okay. Let's see. There was also George W. Bush pitching for the Brewers in Milwaukee in April of 2001 at the Brewers' brand new stadium. Yeah, and W. could actually throw a baseball.
He could throw. Yeah. He had an arm. And bringing that fire to County Stadium too. Thank you.
And then, of course, former President Barack Obama made Milwaukee's Labor Fest a regular throughout the years. But more importantly, presidential vacations. We need more of them in the future.
Here in Wisconsin.
I guess stressing the future. Get them up north. Jennifer Schulze is next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Well, it sure doesn't feel like spring outside, but for some springtime activities, you've got to be planning now. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. And if you're intending to maybe increase your apiary size or start a bee yard of your own, now is the time to start purchasing. That's the advice of Joe Lopez with Blaine's Farm and Fleet. He helps to manage the live bee populations that they'll be receiving and shipping out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's freezing outside, and it's hard to believe, you know, that it's just around the corner that you'll be able to set up your hive and get going on your honey collection. But early ordering is crucial because honeybee supplies are limited. There's only so many to go around, and the demand increases. You know, as it starts to warm, like you said, people aren't thinking of doing this now, but as spring approaches, they will start thinking about it, and you don't want to be last in line and left out.
Joe Lopez with Blaine's Farm and Fleet suggesting that if you're interested in beekeeping this spring, you get your order in now. He said if you place your honeybee orders by March 16th, you should get your bees between April 22nd and May 16th, depending on the weather.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads up seed treatment.
Innovation.
The end of harvest, snow cover fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And it's National FFA Week, and it will be celebrated in a big way right here in Wisconsin with different chapter activities statewide. The Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters just wrapped up their 45th annual convention. Special congratulations to Nick Lowe from Stoughton has been elected as president of the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters. Christopher Blank from Cashton is president-elect, and Terry Wilford from Michicot, past president, who will remain on the executive board. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on Monday. If you're going to be involved in some of those FFA week activities, let us know. You can use our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I'm Pam Yonke.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A frigid President's Day with mostly sunny skies, a high of only near 2 above. Wind chill values, though, as cold as 30 below. For tonight, mostly clear, lows near 20 below. Wind chill values as low as 30 below. Right now, it's 9 below.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are you exhausted, tired, fed up? We get it, but we want you to get involved. Luann Bird is going to join us to talk about ways to keep going. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ed Sheeran's birthday today. You can catch our history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Reminder as well that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe. In the banner on the top of our homepage, we took today off, it being President's Day, but we'll pick up again tomorrow morning, so get signed up for our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Looking at some of the comments from the mailbag that came in here, let's see, from Tom and Jackson. He suggests Land O'Lakes as a potential vacation spot for a future summer White House, the gateway to the North, he calls it. He also asked the question, how many presidents were lefties? As we talked about George H.W. Bush being a lefty here. And now, of course, this is on Wikipedia, so it's on the internet, so it must be true, right? The seven that they know of were James Garfield, Harry Truman, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, all being left-handed. Also in the mailbag, comments from one of the Facebook pages. You can catch us on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page. And Ron says something, I won't leave the U.S. anymore. Staying in the great U.S., it's about time we are digging into all this corruption. Which is going to get me into a future monologue that I'm going to share about travel. And what a much better place this country would be if more people got out of the country. Or frankly, got out of their zip code and just traveled more. And the more you learn about other people, other places, other circumstances, the better off you're going to be. And the better off your worldview is going to be. Randy responds on Facebook to that saying, you don't hire the most corrupt to look into corruptions. You think Elon is looking into the billions that he gets and giving an unelected person power to shut down things and fire people at random is insanity. Well, it has been a rather insane week. And Jennifer Schulze, Chicago journalist, has some thoughts about that in her new column on Substack entitled Democrats Should Fight Back with an Aggressive, Fact-Based Counter-Narrative Every Single Day. And there is precedent for that. And why every day? Because, Jennifer, every day brings a new bit of, is this really happening? Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm good. I'm cold here in freezing Chicago, but otherwise I'm good.
It's what makes us such hearty Midwesterners, right?
We can handle it, right?
Yeah. Look, as journalists, we try not to be too reliant on cliches. And every so often we got to. It's like we are hardy Midwesterners. That suffering breeds character. That's all we've got to go on. Yes. But while we're being trapped indoors, you know, some of us are getting caught up with our writing, our reading, and things like that, which leads to this column. And you can catch it on Substack. Go over to substack.com/@newsjennifer. And her newsletter is called Indistinct Chatter. And it caught my eye because of the whole notion of daily briefings. I have been seeing all of this press coverage about how Donald Trump and Elon Musk are winning the information war, and Democrats don't have any response to it. Well, there's a lot behind that. Obviously, the power of the presidency, the power of chaos, and also the fact that there is no single Democrat. You know, but that was the same in the minority party as well. In other words, Jennifer, I think in some ways people are missing the obvious. But, you know, there are ways that Democrats could be a bit more unified and consistent in their messaging is the case you're making.
Yes, because of the problems you just described, Pat, where Donald Trump's in the White House. He has the biggest megaphone in the world. Elon Musk has an equally large megaphone with Twitter. And the fact that there is no shared information space anymore. People are pigeonholed in their own areas. And we don't have a shared conversation about anything, really. But because of that, somebody needs to break through. And I think the Democratic Party as an organization is in the perfect position to lead on this by every day standing in front of a microphone and saying, here's what happened today. Here's what you need to know about that. These are the facts about that. This is how people are impacted, shared all kinds of information, and do that every day. Because it's not enough to have little blips of things happening here and there. I know you take a look at social media from time to time like I do, and you'll see people saying, why aren't the Democrats doing this? Or I haven't seen any stories on this. Well, Democrats are talking about it, and yes, there are stories about it, but it's hard to, you don't see all of it because it's coming in different places. I think if there was a 10 o'clock in the morning every day briefing that we could rely on and there was some consistency to it every day, even on weekends, I think it would be really valuable in setting an important counter narrative. I mean, just think back to COVID. I was glued to Andrew Cuomo's morning COVID briefings. And then our governor started doing it. Yours probably did too. And it was a way to get information every day in a reliable, fact-based way. I think we need to go back to that.
Well, and that's the thing, is that there is precedent for this in COVID, because you had a sitting president just going on these rambling, you know, ad nauseum talking about injecting bleach and putting light into the body and hyping, a horse dewormer and all of these things. So it's no wonder that certain people filled the gap, sometimes daily, sometimes, like, you know, Governor Tony Evers here, maybe not daily, but on an as needed basis. So there is this this way of having, you know, a fact based daily message that's put out there. But it does lead to this, and that would be essentially, how does that happen? Tony writes on YouTube, Democrats, well known for their message discipline. guilty, Tony, absolutely. And it's, you know, says who? I did hear, you know, for example, people have said, oh, Pete Buttigieg would be great, you know, being up there every day explaining things. But who makes that call? Is it Ken Martin, the new DNC chair? Is it Hakeem Jeffries, the House Democratic leader? Are you putting Chuck Schumer in charge of something like this? Or is it,
no,
is it is it quite organic? And maybe it's multiple Democrats, but, you know, somebody emerges as kind of the natural leader of this effort.
I think, first of all, the party organization and whoever that encompasses has to agree that it's necessary, and think of it almost like a White House press briefing, except you're telling the truth. And either you have a moderator and rotating guests, or you have different people every day. But what you do is you have a consistent time and place so people know that they can count on it. And that's what happened during COVID. Every day, roughly around 4 o'clock Eastern time, the White House would have its COVID task force briefing, and it would devolve into Trump, you know, telling us to, you know, drink bleach. And it would go on for sometimes, you know, upwards of 2 hours. What people were then soon able to rely on was a counter narrative happening every day as well, earlier in the day, usually, like, again, Cuomo's things were in the morning, and Trump was then started responding to things that Cuomo would say. But millions of people across the country tuned into these Cuomo briefings because they knew, while surely there were some politics and things going on there with him, but he was telling people basic information in a pretty straightforward way. I think people like that. I think we need that. And we need to be able to count on something regular so that we're not, well, why isn't anybody talking about that? Or I didn't see that. Or is the news covering this? That would, I think, help calm down some people. And people are also angry. They feel like there isn't a collective or a shared response. So it would address that as well.
The other thing that works in favor of this proposal, and some people might not like to hear this, but we are in a state of permanent campaigning. And I recall it wasn't a week after Joe Biden was inaugurated that Donald Trump filed the papers to form a campaign committee. So, I mean, he was running for president officially, essentially, since like day one or week one of the Biden presidency. That is the world we live in now,
is
that there is a permanent campaign. And so if it's a permanent campaign, why wouldn't you want this Democratic campaign to have some kind of a daily messaging opportunity, which is not to say that, you know, something from it would run every night on nightly news, or, you know, that CNN would pick it up every day. But there would most certainly be days where, you know, they would need to counter something wild and outrageous that Trump or one of his minions said or did. As long as, Jennifer, I hope that if something like this were to come to pass, Democrats would need to do one other thing that I hear from people all the time, and that is to not just be reacting to what Trump is saying, but to be proactive and to say, well, here's what should be done in its place, and then bring it home to people. I mean, if it's national, you're not going to talk about a Wisconsin family every time, but I'd like to have something like that be localized in whatever way possible that given day. And if they do, that's great. Tom and Jackson writes in, great idea. Let's do it. Rotate it first. See who does it best. Also have experts fill in the information. So as you can see, there's already ideas on how you would take your idea and execute it.
I think that all of that is smart. One thing we've learned is people don't know what their government does. So part of it has to be informative. You may not know what the Consumer Protection Bureau does. And here's why it's a bad thing that it's gone away. These are the people that were doing these jobs. And this is how so-and-so in Wisconsin was utilizing that to, stop a bank from overcharging her. Just help people understand what the government does or was doing, how these changes are impacting real people, not just the people losing their jobs, but the people that were relying on the services, or the farmers that aren't getting the loan, or the participating in the programs they thought that they had signed up for. There's so many real life impacts right now that are just starting to bubble to the surface. Share those stories. Tell people how to counteract this, where to get information about how to join protests or different things. There's just so much information out there. If we could wrap it all in a nice little package every day and talk about it, I think it would be really meaningful. And I think it would be helpful to a lot of Americans. People are, I think, rightly frightened.
Well, because they, again, thought they believed the politicians who said, oh, there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse. And look, there always will be a degree of waste, fraud, or abuse in anything that involves human beings. But here's the thing. The waste, as I've told people, for years and years, you're the waste that Elon Musk is talking about. He doesn't think that his tax cut is waste. He thinks that the support check that a farmer is getting is waste. He thinks that, hurricane relief is a waste. He thinks that, the money the NIH is spending to look for the next pandemic is waste. You're the waste they're talking about. And as much as people tried to warn voters about Project 2025 and to say this would get cut, and here's how this would impact you, the fact of the matter is, as I know from our Friday conversations with you and Mark Jacob, is that the main national media outlets did a terrible job of localizing and showing the personal impact of the things that Trump was talking about cutting.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I mean, talking about Project 2025, they even fell for the, you know, his campaign spin that, oh, we're not going to do that. This government is Project 2025.
Yeah, on steroid, more so than we even thought it could conceivably be.
Yes. And so people need to understand, why do they want to get rid of the bank examiners? Why do they want to cut 10,000 people at the IRS? They want to take all
That's going to matter more than, you know, what we name the Gulf of Mexico. Yes. Jennifer Schulze, head to Substack and reader writing there, and we'll see her on Friday as well. Thanks, Jennifer. We'll be back to wrap things up with Jane Mattinear next. You're up north. I'm in love
with the shape of you. 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Okay, now we've played enough of that song for me to ask, who's Sergio? What's that about?
Don't read the lyrics to this song.
Don't read the lyrics. The important part is Jane Says, and that stands for Jane Mattinear, who is standing right behind Greg Bach in her usual Monday morning position to tell us what's coming up.
Good morning, Mr. Kraitlow. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy your time away?
I enjoyed it so very much. How many times Sherry or I would be the first one to say, how nice is this?
Isn't this great, honey? It's so great. It's great.
We just needed that.
Yeah.
And look, there are plenty of other people who travel, as families, but there's also plenty of people who travel as groups of friends or siblings. You know, there was like a dozen women there celebrating one of their 60th birthdays.
Fun.
Which was very fun, except on Friday when we were like, how did these dozen women, you know, they're all here on Valentine's Day. And, you know, I'm not passing judgment. I'm not saying all 12 are single or all 12 are married, but I'm thinking there's, you know, a husband or two over there going, yeah, it's Valentine's Day, and She's down there with the girls.
That's so sweet of you, Pat, because I think the husbands are saying, thank God that's off my plate. Oh, my God, she's overseas. I don't have to worry about it. Yay.
And somewhere I'm in the middle going, well, this year is their year to go out and do something. And next year, me and the boys go out and do something. Next year, it's fine. We can, you know, we're fine.
Oh, look, as long as you communicate all that, that is just fine.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with that. I do have an issue with travel website comment sections, where for this particular resort, like everything we do, I go over to TripAdvisor and other places, and I read through the comments, and I know to take them with a grain of salt.
Sure.
I went back and looked, and I go back like a month, maybe 2 months tops to look, just to get the feel for where I'm going. I went back and looked yesterday at some of those same comments, and it's clear that some of these folks, I mean, it's not that, look, no place is perfect. Everybody has an off day,
sure,
whatever, but some folks really need to take a deep breath
before they write these things. A rival resort.
Oh.
Yes, or it's a plant.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I can totally see that happening.
Well, one thing, when I look at the comments, I always like to see if they look legit and it's a serious complaint, I like to see if the business responds back and what they say to them. And a lot of times, if they're worth their salt, they're going to say, we're sorry it happened. What can we do to make this better? What can we offer you and take care and make this right? And that, to me, is very, very important.
By the way, Pat, to change subjects rapidly here.
Go for it.
I was listening on the way in as you guys were talking about President's Day and a place for the summer residence of the president in northern Wisconsin. I have got the answer for you.
Ooh, yes.
Go Balsam for it. Lake Lodge, just north of Amory.
Oh, yes. I mean, look, nobody enjoyed their trip to Amory more than Jane Mack. Oh,
it was fantastic.
Yes, it was the... How did you keep calling it the best place you'd never been to?
My favorite place I've never been.
Your favorite place you'd never been.
And now I have been, and it was wonderful. And when Todd and I did our tour of Wisconsin last year, we ended up having dinner a couple times at the Balsam Lake Lodge, which was just real close to where we were staying outside of Amory. It is so beautiful with the loons on the lake, and there's the vista, and that's the place.
Would you say it was quaint?
I would say it was quaintly spectacular.
There it is.
Quaintly spectacular.
Yes.
That's what you put in the comment section of these sites. You go to it and you say it that way.
Exactly.
What do you got coming up on the show this week?
Today we are going to talk to the wonderful and indefatigable Luann Bird. You cannot keep that woman down. You can't.
And then we're going to have, I'm now questioning myself for saying it indefatigable all of these years. We're now going, okay, Jane and I have learned big words, but, you know, now I got to figure out what I've been doing wrong all of this time.
But you know what I mean? Luann is eternally optimistic. She doesn't give up. She ran two great campaigns. She did not win. That's not stopping her. And she is continuing to organize and get out there. And so we're going to talk to Luann today to find out. I know a lot of people are frustrated. I know a lot of people are exhausted. I know a lot of people are worried. We need to channel that instead of just sitting home in a dark room drinking.
The other person, not that there's anything wrong with that. Yes, there is. But I do it anyway. Anyway, Luann Bird and Kristen Lierley, again, both having run a couple of unsuccessful campaigns, and yet you cannot bring them down. I mean, I very much metaphorically want to cut them open and count the rings inside. What these rings, which one of them is the happy ring that lets them be just so positive so often, and how do I get a dose of that? Because I mean, you people understand, as soon as, if you haven't heard from Luann yet, you'll just be like, how do we get more people like her
exactly
all the time in our lives?
Yep, you know? Exactly. So Luann's going to be joining us today. Tomorrow we have Representative Mark Pocan is going to be on the show. I don't know, there's a couple things going on in Washington, I've heard.
But he too, and we mentioned this with his last visit to us, is when you talk about daily messaging, that's a guy who he's trying to get into the habit of a weekly wrap-up of messaging. And again, it's very plain English, very easy to understand, and we need more of that from Mark Pocan and others.
I wish they could do it daily.
I do
because
too.
That's the speed with which things are happening. I, gosh, good heavens, he could do a three times a day update and probably still not run out of material, unfortunately.
We do have that kind of a daily message from a trusted source. It's Jane Matinair, and you catch her every morning, 10 to noon, along with one Greg Bach here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much, Shane.
It's been a pleasure. Welcome back. Good to have you back for, I don't know, a whole week.
A whole week. Then I go away again for a bit. It's my cross to bear.
There you go.
I'll manage.
You'll be okay.
I'll be okay. I will. All right. Thank you guys very much. So Greg will be back at 10 o'clock along with Matt and Aaron Air. Thanks to Kristen Lyerly and Jennifer Schulze for being part of today's show. And thanks to you for being here as well. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and in. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. U.S. and Russian officials will hold talks in Saudi Arabia tomorrow on ending the war in Ukraine. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
Russia's delegation will include the Kremlin's foreign policy adviser Yuri Ushakov and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Today, Mr. Lavrov appeared to suggest that Europe had no role to play at future peace talks.
Thousands more federal workers fired over the weekend. Chelsea Milburn lost her job at the Department of Education.
I'd say the last couple of weeks, there was a lot of stress, fear, and tension.
At least one death in Georgia and nine in Kentucky are blamed on severe rainstorms that have triggered catastrophic flooding. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear tells CBS Mornings.
We still have some rescue operations that will need to occur today, potentially evacuating an apartment complex.
At least 16,000 people have no power or heat as temperatures in the South dip below freezing. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.